today the topic of Leil Shimurim. If we have time, we'll discuss some other things as well. We'll see how much time we have, how this goes. Okay, a lot of the material over here is a little bit raw. We'll go through it and we'll maybe have a little bit of a discussion. Anyone who wants to chime in, wants to speak up, by all means. Okay, so we know that on the night of Pesach, we have a tradition that the Leil Pesach is called Leil Shimurim. This is a drasha. What is the drasha? The Gemara. The Gemara says, let me quote the Pasuk. It all starts with the Pasuk in Shemois, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Mem Beis. Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem. It is a night of, I'll translate the word at this moment very loosely, a night of watching. Lehoitziyam me'eretz Mitzrayim, to take them out of the land of Egypt. Hu halayla hazel Hashem. It is this night to Hashem. Shimurim lechol bnei Yisrael ledoyroisam. It is guarded for all of the children of Yisrael, for all ledoyroisam, for all of their generations. It's a very, very hard pasuk to translate literally. It's a very difficult pasuk, and it opens up a lot of discussion. The Gemara makes a drush. The Gemara elaborates upon this drush. So, what are the words of the Gemara? The Gemara says, Omar Rav Nachman. This Gemara can be found in Masechet Psachim. Okay, and the Gemara is discussing how could it possibly be that Chazal established that we drink 4 cups of wine, an even number. There's an ancient principle which today we're not at all accustomed to relate to, and that is the Mazikim. It used to be back in the day, there were demons, Shadim, all different types of spiritual forces out there, which were very dangerous, and it was categorically forbidden for a person to do things in multiples of even numbers. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. You know, today we live on the street, so if you live on one side of the street, if you live on the right side of the street, so you have an odd number, your home has an odd number. On the left side of the street, you have an even number. Is that true every single block? Always one side of the street. Think about where you live. When you live, look at the way traffic goes down your block. I know where I live, on the right side, it's the odd numbers. And on the left side, it's the even numbers. So could you imagine if we were living in the time of Chazal, no Jew would want to live on the left side of the street. Because the left side of the street, you would have an even number for your home. Okay, and anything that's even, it's an invitation for the demons. So the Gemara's question is, how could it be the Chazal Masakim drink 4 cups of wine? 4 cups is a multiple of 2, and that means it's an open invitation for the demons to come and bring harm. And the Gemara gives the answer, Rav Nachman Makra. Rav Nachman says in the Pasuk, Leil Shimurim, Leil HaMishumor Uba Min HaMazikim. There's nothing what to worry about. Being that it says in the Pasuk, Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem Lo Yitzia Me'eretz Mitzrayim, this night of the 15th day of Nisan is a night that's called guarded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us from the demons, and therefore it's an exception. You may ordinarily not have any an even number of cups of wine any night of the year, but on the night of Pesach, you have nothing what to worry about because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect you based upon this Pasuk. So the Gemara over here takes this Pasuk in a very literal sense. The Gemara uses this pasuk as halacha lemaisa, that there's absolutely nothing to worry about Leil Pesach. Hashem is protecting you. You're guarded from the mazikim. You can drink an even number of cups. Now let me give you some examples, okay? Just to touch upon some of the ideas, and then we'll try to explain some of these things. Let me give you some examples where else we carry out this principle. There is a minug, which is not exactly advisable, to leave your front door open Leil Pesach. Do not lock the door of your home to show that you have emuna in Hashem, that tonight is a night that's Leil Shimurim. Now, by the way, the Magen Avraham says, although it may say this in Shulchan Aruch, that you should leave your door open the night of Pesach, do not lock the door, but b'makom d'shchichi hezeka, in a place where it's common that there's harm, it's very common, ein samchem al hanes, and therefore in today's day and age, it's not advisable a person should actually leave his front door open on Leil Pesach. But the halacha, that's, so we today make an exception. So we have to appreciate where it comes. Me'ikar hadin, we have an obligation to Sha'ar Amuna, that if it says in the Pasuk that tonight is a night of Leil Shimurim, we have an obligation to show that's true. We believe in the Pasuk by leaving our doors open, no locks. The Ramah says, no, we make an exception. We're a little nervous, we're not in that madrega, we're living in dangerous times, so, you know, don't worry about it, lock the door. So what we're doing by locking the door is only a bidyevet. The halacha remains in force. The halacha remains the door should be open. We are bidyevet, no, we have no choice, we're going to lock the door. Another example. The minig is not to say the full kriyashma al hamit. Those people that are very good, those very diligent, those people that are very meticulous, they recite a very long nusach before they go to sleep. They read the Birchas HaMapil, they make a barucha, Shem Malchus, and then you say Kriya Shema. Some say one paragraph, some say three paragraphs, depending if you said Kriya Shema Bizman, and then there's a long collection of psukim and memorei chazal that dwell upon Shemira. That when a person goes to sleep, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect him. All different types of shmirah, shmirah from azikim, to guard your neshama, to guard your body, v'chulu v'chulu. So the minig is that on Leil Pesach, a person does not recite the tefillah. The only thing you recite is Birchas HaMapil, and one paragraph of Kriya Shema, and that is enough to show your emunah in Hashem. So we gave already a few examples. We'll come to more. I'll give you another example. Another very, very important example, which is not relevant this year. And that is, what happens if Friday night, the Seder, Pesach falls out Friday, Shabbos, Friday night. So ordinarily, when you go to shul Friday night, we make the bracha, the Mogein Avos. Mogein Avos, B'Hidvaroi, Mechayim Esim, B'Mamaroi. We make the bracha. We have a little chazor sashatz Friday night. Why do we recite the bracha me'ein sheva, it's called? A composite, a synopsis of the seven blessings of the Shemona Esrei. So Chazal tell us, it's in order to give the delay, the departure of the people, the Beis HaKnesses, to allow those who came late to catch up. Because we do not want them walking home by themselves. In time of Chazal, the Beis HaKnesses was in a dangerous location. It was out of the city. And it's dangerous to walk home at late at night alone. Either you're afraid of Ganavim or afraid of Mazikim. And in order that these people should not walk home alone, we want to delay the departure of the people of the Beis HaKnesses. So we delay by reciting a short Chazara Sashatz, what we call the Mogein Avos. And by the way, Rabbi Yisai, it's an amazing thing that Klal Yisrael at this moment in time is losing out on this. We have not done this for the last 2 weeks. Some people have not done this for the last 3 weeks. It's very important now to learn the halachas of how to conduct yourself when you daven b'yichidus. Okay, that's now becoming a new specialty in halacha. I saw Rabbi Leibowitz. I know Rabbi Leibowitz from Torah Vadas. He's a great, great person. He works for the OK, and he puts out his svarim, halachically speaking, and he just put out now a special kuntris, the laws of davening b'yichidus. The laws of davening b'yichidus is a specialty in halacha, and one of the very important halachas the person has to know is that Friday night, you do not recite Mogein Avos. Mogein Avos is not only is not recited Friday night, b'yichidus, it's not even recited with a minion if it's not a minion kavua, a permanent minion. So the last couple of weeks, I don't think anyone, even if a person illegally, and I say that with a capital I, if a person illegally made a minion in his home or on his porch Friday night, they could not possibly have said the Mogein Avos because the minion she'enei kavua. it's not a permanent minyan. And when you don't have a minyan in kavua Friday night, you do not recite the Magen of the Chazar Sashatz of Magen Avos. But certainly you do not recite a Yechidus. Now here's the question. Question is, let's say for argument's sake, it was a regular time and people were going to shul and it was Pesach this year, it's not going to happen like that, but Pesach was Friday night and ordinarily you were to recite the Magen Avos. Lel Pesach, you do not recite Magen Avos. You know why not? Because it's called Lel Shimurim. Okay, so here we give three examples. The Dalet Koisois, we're not concerned about Zugois. We're not concerned about Mazikin, that's an even number. We don't lock the door. That's number two. Okay, the Me'ikr Hadin, Me'ikr Hadin, not practically speaking, but Me'ikr Hadin, you don't lock the door because we show Emuna, it's Lel Shimurim. Number three, we do not recite the Psukim and the Memori Chazal, Kriya Shema Al Hamita. And I'll show you in a few moments if I can find it for you. There are even those who hold that you should not recite Birchas Hamapil when you go to sleep. That's not the common minhag. Okay, our minhag is that you do recite the bracha of Hamapil when you go to sleep. But there are opinions that hold that you do not recite the Birchas Hamapil when you go to sleep. That goes that far. Okay, number four, you do not recite the bracha Me'ein Sheva if Pesach were to fall out Friday night. Because the only reason why you recite the bracha of Magen Avos is in order to delay the departure, because we are afraid that people should not walk home alone. It's dangerous. Well, guess what? Lel Pesach, it's not dangerous because it's Lel Shimurim. Therefore, the stragglers who come late and walk home alone, they'll be fine. It's Lel Shimurim. We're not going to say the bracha Me'ein Sheva. There's already four things. There are a lot more. Okay, there are at least four things that we do. I'll give you another example, a beitza kilufa. There's a halacha that you're not allowed to leave an egg overnight, a peeled egg overnight. So we know that by the Seder we have a minhag that put on the ka'ara a beitza. Most of us put a beitza in its shell. Some people have the minhag to put the egg on the ka'ara, a peeled egg. They have a hard-boiled egg and they take off the shell. Some have that custom, or some have the custom to eat eggs during Shulchan Aruch, a zecher for the Avelus of Tisha B'Av. So what happens if you prepare eggs to eat during the Shulchan Aruch, zecher for the Avelus of Tisha B'Av, zecher l'chorben, or it is your custom to put on the ka'ara a beitza kilufa, a peeled egg, and are you allowed to eat the egg the next day? Isn't there a halacha that if you leave over a beitza kilufa overnight, not guarded, it's you're not supposed to eat it because it's a sakana? So the halacha is not when it comes to Lel Pesach, because Lel Pesach is Lel Shimurim. There's nothing to worry about. So I'm going to give five examples of Lel Shimurim. And where does it all come from? It comes from a Gemara. The Gemara says that there's no issue of Zugois. Amar Rav Nachman Makra, Lel Shimurim, Lel HaMeshumur Uba Min HaMazikim. So this is what it says. And Rashi actually quotes this in Chumash. Rashi on the Parasha, on this Pasuk there, says, Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael d'oroisam, Meshumur Uba Min HaMazikim, Kinyin Shenemar V'lo Yitin HaMashchis. As the pasuk there goes on to say, Hashem will not allow the mashchitz to come into your home. So this indeed is halacha lemaisa. Now, before we go further, I want to tell you something that is shocking, unbelievably shocking, and that is, I think, it's a mechilta, and the mechilta says just the opposite. Now, as a hakdama to that, I want to take note that let's ask a question here. It's a Lel Shimurim, right? It's halacha lemaisa, so we do all of these things. Zugois, we're not worried about the four cups, we're not worried about open up, open up, leave the door open. I'll give you a sixth example. You open the door. You actually go outside. What are you opening up the door at 12 o'clock at night? You're looking for trouble? You're looking for trouble, you open up the door and you go outside and you say, Shefoicha Mosch Lagem Asher Lo Yidu'ucha. Sit in your table. Don't look for trouble. Don't open up the door and go outside. It's also an expression of emunah that you're not afraid. You open up the door, you go outside, and you say to the goyim, you scream out all your bunch of rishayim, Shefoicha Moscha, may Hashem punish you and destroy you, should get what you deserve. You're not afraid to do that. You're not afraid to go spit on your enemy the night of Pesach. You got to be out of your mind. You go outside, there are cameras wherever you go. All you need is you go outside, you have a non-Jewish neighbor across the street, he has a camera in front of his house, open up your door, and you say, may the Ribbono Shel Olam obliterate you, you Rasha Merusha, good for nothing, get lost. You're asking for a lot of trouble by opening up your door and going outside and saying that in the street. And Chazal, that's right. It's Leil Shimurim. Hashem got your back. Go right ahead. Don't worry about it. Okay, that's the sixth example of Leil Shimurim. Now, problem. This is unbelievable. Now, historically speaking, let's look back in history. We all know there's something called a blood libel. What were the blood libels? Christians, in their richness, in their intense anti-Semitism, made up a bilbil that in order for the Jews to eat matzah, they need the blood of a non-Jew. They mix into the matzah blood of a non-Jew, something which is totally, totally ridiculous, beyond any shadow of a doubt. Total nonsense, but yet it just can't. They can't get rid of this. Can't get rid of, even ad hayoyim hazeh. They're still teaching this to non-Jews that Jews need blood of a non-Jew to prepare their matzahs. So what do they do? The Arab countries in particular, it's still out there. Even ad hayoyim hazeh, it's unreal. Unreal blood libels. And what would they do? They went to an extreme where they would take one of their own, they would take a Christian child, they would murder the child, and they would put the child in front of the door of the rabbi, out in the street, and then they would say, look, who killed this child? Who killed this non-Jewish child? And they would have false witnesses, and they made a lot of trouble. Historically speaking, Rabbi Yisai, Pesach has been for us a very dangerous time. Okay, the facts speak for itself. So the question is, it may be true that Chazal tell us it's Leil Shimurim, Hula Hashem, but historically speaking, go just study history, Pesach is a very dangerous time for Jews. There's a lot of anti-Semitism, there are a lot of issues, and Goyim are out to get us, and...
Yeah. Can I just say something? One of the reasons for that, particularly in Europe, is that it coincides with Easter.
Okay.
And so they promoted the deicide charge during
Easter, your holiday.
Season.
Okay. So it's a dangerous time. So how do we reconcile the fact that we accept what it says in the Torah, we actually live with it by doing things which are dangerous, we open up the door, we don't lock it. I mean, not today anymore, but it used to be such a thing. It says that's what it says he's supposed to do. We allow the stragglers who come late to shul to walk home alone. We're not worried about the mazikim. Yet historically, it's been a very dangerous time. The police, they're paid overtime. That's the reality. In New York City, the police are paid tax money, hard-earned tax money, to the police are given in order they should work overtime to protect us on Leil Pesach. All the shuls have in front of them, all the big shuls have in front of them police officers standing guard, there are patrols. This is not part of the regular scheduled service of the police department. Why do we need it? It's Leil Shimurim. What do we need this for? How do we reconcile the reality of danger, and history can prove that it has been a very dangerous time, Leil Pesach, to what Chazal tell us, that it's Leil Shimurim, you got nothing to worry about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting you on this day. How do we reconcile that? So in order to explain this, not, and there is no explanation, but let me just tell you a mechilta. Mechilta is one of the major midrashim, which is utterly shocking. And the mechilta says just the opposite of what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Leil Pesach is a time where Hashem protects you. The Mechilta says just the opposite. If there's one night a year when you should wear a bulletproof vest and you should hire a bodyguard and have a weapon at your side, it's Leil Pesach. Leil Pesach, the Pasuk says, Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem Shimurim Hu. I'll read you the words in a moment. It's a night when you better be on guard. It's a very dangerous time of the year. The words of the Mechilta are Lel Shimurim Hu LaHashem. Bo Nigalu, on this night we were redeemed. Ubo Asidin Ligoel. Divrei Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Bo Nigalu. But Ula Asalavoi, E Nigalin Ela B'Tishrei. Okay, this was the night when we were redeemed, in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but the ultimate Geula will come in Chodesh Tishrei, in the fall. Uma Tamaloymer Halayla Hazeh Hashem, L'Hashem, Elo, Hu Halayla Hazeh She'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Li'Avram Avinu, Avraham Ani Goyel Es Bonecha, I will redeem your children on this night, when the time arrived, Hashem did not delay one moment. Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael. When the pasuk goes on to say the second half of the pasuk, I will recap in a moment. Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael. Magid, this teaches us shekol Yisrael tzrichin lehishtomer boy. You better watch out. It's a very dangerous night. Be super, super careful. That's what the pasuk means. And he writes over here, Perish b'merkevus ha-mishav, you're meaning to perish in the Sefer, ul rabbi liyezet tzach lefarish to kol yishol tshichin lishtomer bo, the merkevus ha-mishneh, which is a perish on the Mechilta says, makes it very, very clear that what this means to say is, it's a dangerous night. Much more so than any other night, and you need to protect yourself. Go to the extra measure, the extra degree protecting yourself. Hoyel uve oisa halayla, because that night it says, Nemar, v'yatem al teitzu, don't you dare leave, ish, mi pesach besoy ad boiker. Chukbeo sakona zo lidoirois shetzrichim. This pasuk says, don't go out of your home on this night. It doesn't just mean the actual moment of the Exodus, of Makkos Bechoros. It's telling you every year on this night, be careful. Stay home. Don't travel. Don't go out of your home, Leil Pesach. It's a night that you have to be on guard. Isn't this unbelievable? This Mechilta is the complete opposite of what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Leil Pesach, leave the doors open. Leil Pesach, don't say Magen Avos. Don't even bother saying, let the stragglers walk home by themselves. Leil Pesach, you don't have to say Birchas Hamapil. You don't have to say all the psukim. Hashem's got your back. You can have four cups of wine, the Zugos. And the Mechilta says just the opposite. Then there's repetition of the pasuk. How does he learn Shah in the pasuk? He does the very big favor because there are two parts of the pasuk. The pasuk repeats itself. The pasuk starts off by saying, Leil Shimurim hu LaHashem LaHoitzio MiEretz Mitzrayim Hu HaLaila HaZeh LaHashem But Shimurim L'Chol B'nei Yisrael L'Doyroisam. Incredible translation. Now, but I want to take just one step back. It's a very important point. The word Shmira doesn't just mean to guard. It means to anticipate. Ve'oviv shomar es hadavar. We all know this chazal, this pasuk, that Yosef, he brought to his father his dreams, that the stars were bowing down to him. The stars and the heaven, the sun and the moon and the stars were bowing down to him. He brought to his father the dream that the stalks were bowing down, the bundles were bowing down to his bundle. And his father said, son, Yosef, nonsense. Enough of the nonsense. Don't think, what do you think you are? You think they're going to come bow down to you? Nonsense. But the pasuk includes, ve'aviv shomar es hadavar. Yaakov Avinu knew it's not nonsense. He knew that there was something very deep about these dreams, and he anticipated. He anticipated, atzape, mosai yovoi, will I live to see the day that my son Yosef, this my youngest son Yosef, he will be the ruler of all of his brethren. They will all indeed come down to bow. Will it really be such a thing? I mean, he's anticipating this time will come. Yaakov Avinu obviously saw something very special in Yosef. He gave him the Kesoinis Pasim. Okay, he gave him the Kesoinis Pasim. He taught him everything that he learned in the Beis Medrash of Shem V'Aver. He did not do this for his other children. He did not give them Kesoinis Pasim. He did not teach them what he'd learned in Shem V'Aver. He only did this to Yosef. He obviously saw in Yosef something very special, and he was mitzape. He was yearning for the time when all of the other children, the other 11 children, will come to appreciate who Yosef is and bow down to Yosef. So what do we learn from this chazal? That the word shamar means to anticipate. Likewise, in this pasuk, Lel Shimurim Hu LaHashem, the Mechilta explains, Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Ger Yeh Zaracha B'Yeretz Lelohem Avod Avinu Yosmar B'Mei Hoshana, and V'Yachreichen Yetzu B'Rechush Gadol, the time is going to come when I'm going to take them out of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we told this to Avraham Avinu, he told this to him long before it happened, 430 years before. 430 years before the event actually happened, Avraham Avinu already predicted, Hashem predicted this would happen, and Hashem was mitzape. He was mitzape, he was waiting patiently for 430 years. When will this moment come when I will be able to take my children out of Egypt? It's a lel, it was a night, shimurim, that was guarded, that was anticipated, that was waited for, Hu LaHashem, LeHoitzio MeEretz Mitzrayim. And then the second half of the pasuk says, there's something you should know about this night. It's very dangerous. And you should know, Hu HaLaila HaZeh LaHashem, it is a night to Hashem. It's Hashem's night. Because Hashem, as the pasuk before said, he anticipated. But for you, Klal Yisrael, watch out. Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'doiroi sam. Throughout all of your generations, you better be careful. And it's very logical why. Because the goyim are very jealous of us. Hashem selected us to be the Am HaNivchar. In Shemayim, they were not happy that we were selected. On this earth, they were not selected. But Hashem, he decided that we are deserving. And the world is very jealous, and the Mazikim are very jealous. And therefore, Hashem anticipated this moment, he yearned for this moment to redeem us. But we have to realize only Hashem was yearning for this moment. The rest of the world was not happy to see us be freed from our slavery and to go forth. And we have to guard ourselves. Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'doyroisam, on this night of Pesach, protect yourself. Hire armed guards. Have weapons. Be super duper careful. It's a very dangerous time. Look, when the state of Israel declared independence in 1948, what did that mean? It wasn't a glorious moment. Today they make it sound like They make it sound like there was no greater day in modern times on the day in 1948 when they declared a state. It meant one thing, declaring a state, and the United Nations voting to allow them the people of Israel to have sovereignty. It meant war. It meant people were going to die. And if you read the history, how they sat there in Israel, pachad pachadim, on pins and needles, knowing that when the vote comes in and the state is established, it's not going to be pretty. It means there's going to be a declaration of war by all of the Arab nations, and they're going to have to go to war, and they're not prepared to go to war, and people are going to die, as what happens in war. It wasn't pretty. It's the same thing. Yitzias Mitzrayim is the beginning of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. When we became a nation, what did that mean? The world was not happy, because the world hates us. Why they hate us, that's another topic of discussion, but they do. And therefore, when we became free people, they declared war. So Hashem says to us, watch out! Watch out! It's a lel of Shimurim. You need to protect yourself on this night. So what have we done over here? We've taken over here two Mamari Chazal. We've taken the Gemara in Sechta Pesachim that tells us you're permitted on the Lel Pesach to have four cups of wine. There's no problem of zugois. It's a lel shimurim. L'doraisam, for all generations. Every single night, Lel Pesach, you can have four cups of wine. And all of the examples we've given. Yet the Mechilta says just the opposite. Because this night, the Ribbono Shel Olam anticipated, he waited for 430 years to make us into a nation, it aroused the jealousy and the hatred of the Ummah Sa'ilam, and therefore we have to be on guard this night from our enemies. And history, Rabbi Isai, has proven that the Mechilta is right. Sorry to tell you, but the facts speak for itself. Lel Pesach has been a very great, very difficult time in Jewish history, dealing with the blood libels. And not only the blood libels, there's a lot of anti-Semitism out there, and they know our Jewish holidays, and unfortunately, history has taught us that it's not a time to let your guard down. So how do we reconcile these two Mamorei Chazal? Now let's just add a few more points. Every single night of the year, we recite a very critical bracha, which in light of what is happening now in the world with the coronavirus, it's very worthy to pay attention to. And Arevsky, are you there? Arevsky, you once remember you told me that after 9/11, Rav David Feinstein, they asked Rav David Feinstein to speak. You told this to me. After 9/11, remember, they asked Rav David Feinstein to speak about 9/11. I mean, what's going on? 9/11, only 3,000 people died. Well, they went to war in Iraq. How many American soldiers gave up their lives? Something like 4,000, 5,000. The coronavirus already has taken already, I think, 5,000 people. It's already the same numbers of people have died in the coronavirus from the whole 9/11. Well, not exactly, but it's getting there. Rachman al-Litzlan. And after 9/11, David Feinstein came to the Bialystok Shul, and the place was jam-packed. Every single living Jew, the Lower East Side, Orthodox Jew, was in the Bialystok Shul to hear of David Feinstein speak. And what did he say? He spoke very short, and his drasha was that when you say the bracha, Hashkiveinu, Hashem, Elokeinu, L'shalom, v'ha'amideinu malkeinu l'chayim, you should have kavana. That is what he said. That was the entire drasha. Maevsky, is that correct? Am I saying
that's what? We spoke for 30 seconds.
He spoke for 30 seconds. That was his drasha, and it's very relevant. It's very relevant for today. That may Hashem, when we go to sleep, we should go to sleep in peace. L'shalom. And we should wake up in peace, l'chayim, for life. Ufroi soleinu sukash loimecha. Okay, goes on. You should bring upon us your sukkah of peace. And let me jump down to the end of the bracha. And the end of the bracha is very relevant. Let me read the whole bracha, okay? V'sakneinu bi'etzah toiva milefanecha. May you establish us with etzah toiva. I think one of the big problems that we have today with the coronavirus is we don't know what to do. No one knows a battle plan, how to deal with this. Every doctor is a vigilante. Every doctor has their own homemade remedy, what he thinks is a good. There is no official, there's no medicine that has been proven to be effective for this particular virus. And everyone is concocting their own homemade remedy. We need Eitza Toiva Milefonecha, V'hoshienu Leman Shemecha. We need Hashem to save us for His name. V'hagein Ba'adenu, we ask Hashem to protect us. The Haser Me'olenu, Oyev, the enemy, Dever. Okay, what more could you possibly want? May HaKadosh Baruch Hu remove from us a Dever, a plague. We are living through the plague of the century, the plague of our life. Dever, an enemy, a Dever, and then it says Cherev, Virahav. Okay, this is not a joke, because when there's a dever, you know what comes next? After a dever comes crime. People have no parnasa, and when there's no parnasa, then there is crime. And crime, people, they'll murder, Rachmana Litzlan. There's cherev. The economy, Rachmana Litzlan, can collapse. There can be starvation. The rahav, the yogoin, there is depression. These are very, very relevant words, okay? Very relevant words to have kavana for. V'haser satan milefanenu umeyacharenu. May you remove the satan. The satan doesn't just mean a spiritual satan. It can refer to foolish decisions that are made by the authorities. They should not be distracted, Rachmana Litzlan, from people influencing them to advise us to do the wrong thing. And then it goes on to say, Uvitzel kinafecha tastirenu, may you shelter us in the shadow of your wings. And here's the part I really wanted to focus on, kikel shomreinu umatzileinu ata, because you are a God that guards us. You are a shomer. You are guardian, umatzileinu ato, you are a savior, kikel melech hanun v'rachum ato, you are a God that has compassion, ushemor tzeisenu vo'enu, may you guard our departure, uvo'enu, our coming, l'chayim u'l'shaloi me'ata v'ad olam, baruch ato Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, shomer, you guard amo Yisrael lo'ad forever. Now this bracha is so unique, like none other. Why do I say that? Where do you have in the entire liturgy a bracha where you change the nusach of that very bracha for Shabbos and Yom Tov? All of the tefillos that we have, either you say it or you don't. During the weekday, you recite the Shemoneh Esrei. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have a different Shemoneh Esrei. The first three brachos are the same. The last three are the same. The middle, we swap out and swap in. We don't manipulate a bracha. The bracha is the way it is. In Birchas HaMazon, do we manipulate the brachas of Birchas HaMazon? It's the same Birchas HaMazon. The only difference is you insert into the Birchas HaMazon a paragraph. You don't change the nusach, certainly not the end of the bracha, which is the ikar. The ikar chilk of the bracha is the chasima of the bracha. And yet, I challenge you to find me elsewhere where we do something like this, where the end of the bracha, on Friday night and Yom Tov night, we change it. We change the nusach. What are the words? the words are, instead of saying Ushmort Seinu, instead of Ufros Meatovia Ufros Olenu, instead of concluding Ushmort Seinu Enul Haimul Shalom Meatovi Adelam, instead of concluding Burukhatu Hashem Shane Mo Yisrael Ad, we say Ufros Olenu Sukash Loimecha. Okay, we add those words in. May you spread upon us. Ufroi Solenu Sukash Loimecha. May you spread upon us your sukkah. Okay, your shelter of peace. Baruch Atah Hashem HaPoyres, the one who spreads. The Sukkas Shalom, the canopy of peace, Olenu. The Al Kol Amo Yisrael, the Al Yerushalayim. What's going on over here? What is going on? Why over here do we change the Nusach of the Tefillah Friday night from the rest of the week? And the answer is, the Shemira of Shabbos is different than the Shemira of a weekday. During a weekday, it's dangerous. There's a danger. We are vulnerable. Friday night, we're not vulnerable. It's different. There's a greater intensity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection. And that's why we say, may you spread upon us the Sukkas Shalomecha. You will envelop us in a sukkah. A sukkah is a shelter, in the shelter of your peace. Baruch Atah Hashem, we acknowledge that on Shabbos Kodesh, you are poires, you envelop, you spread the Sukkas Shalom, Oleinu, V'al Kol Amo Yisrael, and on Yerushalayim. So what do we learn from this? That Shabbos itself provides a special degree of protection that we do not have the entire year round. Now, there is a little bit of a question. Question is, if Shabbos indeed does provide protection, how come we do recite Friday night Mogein Avos? If we've gone to such an extreme to do something that we ordinarily would never do, to change the Nusach of a Bracha, to express the belief that Hashem protects us more so on Friday than if Shabbos, and He does the rest of the year, why then would it be necessary to say the bracha me'in sheva when we leave Friday night in order to protect the stragglers? The answer is obvious. Well,
in the Sada, it's more dangerous.
Exactly. There's a degree. It's true that Friday night Hashem, there is a greater degree of protection, but there are limits. There's a limit to how far it goes. Now here comes the next point. Pesach is called Shabbos. When it comes to Sviras HaOmer, the Pasuk explicitly defines Lel Pesach, or the day of Pesach, as Shabbos. U'sefartem lochem mimocharas ha-Shabbos. On the day after Shabbos. This is the old machlokes, the Tzedokim and the Prushim. The Tzedokim, the Apikorsim, they would say that Shabbos means Shabbos Bereishis. And Chazal tell us that our Amunah, our tradition tells us that Pesach is called Shabbos. So if on Shabbos Kodesh, we go to the degree where we change the Nusach HaTfilah to be makir, to acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Poirei Soleinu Sukkah Shloimecha, how much more so when it comes to Pesach, that's also called Shabbos. And so, called Lel Shimurim, how much more so is there going to be a special degree of protection for Klal Yisrael, which is really fits much more in line with what it says in the Gemara. But problem is the Mechilta says just the opposite. Maybe on a regular Shabbos, we have a tradition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He envelops us in the Sukkah of Shalom. But Lel Pesach is a very dangerous time. Shimurim hu l'chol l'bnei Yisrael l'doy raysam. Guard yourself. So in other words, we're having a conflict. I'm trying to point out over here is there are contradictory elements coming against us Lel Pesach. Is it a day of Shemira? Is it not a day of Shemira? I'll give you another example. It's a very big machlokes. Do you dip the matzah in salt on Leil Pesach? Do you even have on the table salt? So why? What's the inyan of having salt on the table? Chazal tell us it's a Shemira. Salt, alcohol, there are many different elements to this. There's alcohol, karboncha, takav melach. When you bring karbonos, you're supposed to have salt. But that inyan of having salt is only true by day, because we only bring karbonos by day. We don't bring karbonos at night. So nighttime is not necessarily a time to add salt to your bread. If you want to say that eating the bread is like eating a carbon, that's all fine and good when it comes to, you only add salt when you bring it on the mizbeach. You bring the carbon on the mizbeach by day, not at night. So there really is no inyan to add salt to your bread at night if you suggest that the ikar time of salt is al kol karboncha takrav melach. So why then is there salt? So Chazal says something very mystical, because salt is a guardian. It is a shmira from the mazikin. It's a very famous Chazal that when a person, Mishnah Berurah says that when people are washing for bread, they come back from washing, and they're waiting for their friends to come back from washing their hands for Netilas Yadayim, and in the meantime, they're sitting around doing absolutely nothing. When you're sitting around and doing nothing, it's a time for the Mekatergim to make trouble. So we have on the table salt. The salt Friday night is not necessarily meant to be actually used to dip your challah in, or to take the salt and pour upon your challah. The reason why the salt is present is that it should guard us. It's just a bris melach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu established salt as a bris, as an object that he looks at and he has rachmanis upon us, however that works, but it's a Kabbalistic principle that when there's salt on the table, Kodesh Baruch Hu is guarding us when we are not behaving the way we should or when we are in danger. Now, there's a big discussion by this little Seder. Do we have salt on the table? Do we dip the matzah in the salt? Some do, some do not. Even those who hold that you do not dip your matzah in the salt, because we want the matzah to be pure lechem oini, nothing more than flour and water. We don't want any addition, no salt. But they do advise you should leave the salt on the table, because the salt is a shmira. What do you mean it's a shmira? You don't need shmira Leil Pesach. Leil Pesach is a laila where you do not need shmira.
Maybe you want to answer that the shmura matzah on the table takes the place of the salt.
The shemur matzah, the fact that you're guarding it. Ushemartem es hamatzos. Okay. Also, the word shemira also is a very interesting word, as you just said, is because the entire mitzvah of matzah we have Leil Pesach is all built upon the word ushemartem es hamatzos, to guard the matzah, that the matzah should not turn into chametz. We're eating a food. Look what's taking place over here. We have three shmiras at the same exact time. You're eating a piece of bread upon which you have fulfilled the instructions ushemartem es hamatzos. You're eating it on a day, a calendar day, which the Ribbono Shel Olam anticipated. Shimurim hu laHashem. Hashem yearned for 430 years that this day should come where he can make us into a nation. And we're eating it on a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, watch out! Watch your back! Shimur muhu libnei Yisrael l'dayroisam. It's a dangerous night. There are people out there that are making these accusations that you're murderers. There are blood libels. It's a day that you have to be on guard. Okay, so Rabbi Isai, there are three elements of Shemira when we sit down to the Pesach Seder. The bread is a product of Ushemartem es hamatzos. It's a day that Hashem was Shomer. He anticipated. And it's also a dangerous time. This year, unfortunately, we have a fourth element. Ushemartem me'oid l'nafshay seichem. We're holding in the middle of this crisis, of this horror, where so many people have passed away. It's not a joke. It's just a horror. I was listening to Rabbi Zachary Wilderstein 2 days ago. He said something which shook me to the core. It's not a kasha what he said, but it's still very painful what he said. And he said that if you look at the news, you pay attention to what's going on, many Holocaust survivors have died in the last few days because of coronavirus. And he said, look at these people. These people were able to survive the Holocaust. They were able to survive Nazi Germany, but they weren't able to survive Corona. I mean, so okay, you'll tell me right away. Yeah, well, I mean, the difference. They were young. They were 18 years old then, and now they're 90 years old. Okay, I know that. But go a step further. Look at it like this. These people, at the time when they lived through the Holocaust, it could have happened. They would have died. No one would have known. They would not have had a funeral. No one would have said Kaddish for them. They would have not had, their death would have been uneventful. And here they lived. They were selected to live and survive. They lived, they survived, they thrived, they built families, they have a legacy. And no one can take that away from them. They left over beautiful families, success. But yet, when they died now, it's like the Holocaust for them. No one's saying Kaddish for them. There is no funeral. Some of them do not even have a tahara because it may be too dangerous for the Chevra Kaddisha to deal with the body in a normal way because of the disease. And their entire death is uneventful. Some of these people have acquired purchased kvarim in Eretz Yisrael, and they can't be buried there because there are no flights. So they have to change. Now they can be buried in America. Not everyone is willing to go through the process to be buried al Tanai and later to be reinterred and taken to Eretz Yisrael. So isn't that amazing? That these people, who at the time they lived through the Holocaust, it could have happened on a moment's notice, they would have died. No one to say Kaddish, no one to sit Shiva, no one to bury them in a proper, dignified way, just like nothing. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam said, no, you're going to live. You're going to live. And they lived, and they survived, and they thrived, and they accomplished. They have families. They leave over incredible, incredible things. And that, when no one can, that's, no one's taking that away from them. Chas v'shalom. But yet, the actual moment of death, they died all alone, in quarantine, in a hospital that was locked up with more security than a super max prison. No one can get in, no one can get out. All alone, they died in a room, no one even saw them die, taken out, put on a trailer, a refrigerated trailer, wrapped in plastic so they should not contaminate anything, buried quietly without a minion, no one sitting Shiva, no one saying Kaddish, no one knows, everyone is worried about themselves, no one is paying attention. It's like they died in the Holocaust. Isn't that very disturbing? They were not taking away from them, chas v'shalom, their legacy, their achievements, what they have accomplished. But the moment, the mode of death is a very, very frightening thing. Okay, I'm getting sidetracked. But going back to Leil Shimurim. Leil Shimurim, we have over here in the Leil Shimurim multiple elements of Shimur that are coming together. The matzah is guarded. The day was guarded by the Ribbono Shel Olam that it should be a day, it should be a, that he anticipated. Mitzad Echad, the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim says that this day Hashem continues to guard us, to protect us. It's a Leil Shimurim. You can drink 4 cups of wine. You do not need to be concerned about the zugos. You can leave your door open. You don't have to say the full dosage of Kriya Shema. You don't have to worry about the stragglers coming back from the Beis HaKnesses. But mitzad sheni, watch out. There are blood libels. Have security. Have the police department there to protect you. Because the Mechilta says it's a very dangerous time because the Umma Yisraelim are very jealous of Klal Yisrael, what we've achieved, what we've accomplished, and that we are the Am HaNivchar. And again, just to add to the mix, this year, it's another element of Shemira, Ushemartem Me'oid L'Nafshay Seichem. We're all being told, don't invite guests, don't go anywhere, less is more. Don't go to a hotel. Don't go to your grandchildren. Don't go nowhere. Sit home and do guard your neshama.
Excuse me for 1 second. The Malbim makes the point of saying, it says, Al Yetze Yish Mi Pesach Beiso Ad Boker, because of the marauding Egyptians in the streets who are running around like a chicken without a head, and they might trample you to death. So you have to stay in the house. So with the Leil Shimurim, as long as you pay attention and lock your door.
You have to lock the door. You have to lock the door. Now let me just give you a few more.
Lock the door. It's the Leil Shimurim, but that was for the Makos Bechoros that I'm visiting upon you, not from the Egyptians outside. That's not a Leil Shimurim for them. I mean, for you against them, it's against the Makos Bechoros. But you got to lock your door.
Okay.
You'll be trampled to death.
Don't go outside. Now, before I turn to I want to I want to bring out a few more things I want to mention about how it's a Leil the contradictions in the Leil Shimurim of the night. Let me just we'll tie it up together. Just want to give point on a few more small points. Number one, next point is in the beginning of the Seder. What do we say? We say Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. Kol Ditzrich Yesei V'Yifsach. We have an invitation. All the commentators, they ask the question, why is this invitation expressed in Aramaic? Why is it not expressed in Lashon Kodesh? The entire Haggadah. The Haggadah has 1,820 words. Why is the Haggadah, the 1,820 words, all in Hebrew, whereas the Kol Dichvin is in Aramaic? And likewise, the very end of the Haggadah, Chagadya, the very end, is also in Aramaic, with sandwiched in words of Aramaic. Why? And one of the popular answers is, when you begin the Haggadah and you make your invitation, you don't want the Mazikim to come to the Seder. If you're going to say in Hebrew, make a public announcement, the PA system, anyone who wants, come all to the Seder. We're going to feed you good. We're going to give you the Korban Pesach. When the Mazikim, the demons, are going to hear this invitation, they're going to come and they're going to make for you a lot of trouble. So don't let them know that there is a Pesach Seder taking place. How do you prevent them from knowing? The demons, the Malachim, do not know Aramaic.
You know, I put all the boxes out.
Okay, they do not know Aramaic. They do not know the language. They do not know the language. So if you say it in Aramaic, there's nothing to worry about. They're not going to come. What do you mean? Why do you have to say in Aramaic? Why should we not be concerned? Oh, I thought tonight, the Leil Pesach is a night when we're guarded from the demons. It's a Leil Shimurim. So we should be permitted to recite the invitation in Lashon HaKodesh. What are we so concerned? Contradiction. Okay, another example. Well, here's an example the other way around. And this is a Kabbalah, which is a Kabbalistic principle, but it answers a question that's a very disturbing question. There is a Kabbalistic principle that the whole year round, a person should never say the 10 Makos in order. Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Orav, Dever, Shchin. Doing what I just did is a cardinal sin. You should never, ever rattle off the 10 makos in the correct sequence. It can bring upon a person very great harm. And in fact, David HaMelech in Tehillim was knowledgeable of the danger, and that's why in Tehillim, when he enumerated the Makos, he enumerated them in the wrong order. And all the commentators are very disturbed. Why did David HaMelech enumerate the Makos in the wrong order? Why couldn't he follow what it says in the Torah? And the answer is, saying the Makos in order somehow, some way, is a very dangerous thing. And that's why Rabbi Huda Hayu Nosrem Simonim, Datzach Adash Bachav, to remember that Lel Pesach, you don't got that problem. Because Lel Pesach is a Lel Shimurim Hu. It's a night of Shimurim, and there's no harm in enumerating the Makos in order, just like we have the four cups of wine, an even number. So too, you can say Lel Pesach, Datzach, Adash, Biachav. You can go in the correct order. Dam, Tzardei, Akinim, Arav, Dever, Shchin. You can go in order, you don't have to worry about it. And not like David HaMelech, who was not talking about the Seder, where he had to go and say it out of order. So here another example where we're not concerned with the Lel Shimurim. Now, to answer, basically, it's a very simple Yisai, which comes, I think there's a very simple pattern. And that is, there's no question that there are elements about Lel Pesach that are very dangerous. We're very worried. We are very worried. We have salt on the table. We say in Aramaic. We mentioned the Mechilta. The Mechilta says you have to be on guard. You have to protect yourself. There are other things that we do. Look, we do say Hamapil. We do say the bracha of Birchas Hamapil. Why do we even need to make a bracha on Birchas Hamapil? We cut down on the psukim and the Maimori Chazal, but we do actually say the Iker Bracha of Hamapil. Why should that be necessary if it's a Lel Shimurim? Obviously, there are two contradictory elements which come together on Lel Pesach. Let me give you an example. Just like Lel Pesach, Mitzad Echad, is a Zman of the ultimate Cheirus, freedom, but yet it's a night of mourning. We eat eggs, we have on the table, Moror. Moror is the bitterness, the tsar. The matzah itself, on the one hand, the matzah represents our freedom, but matzah is lechem oini. Everything about the Seder captures the extremes. Our freedom, it's yachrei chen yetzu b'rechush gadol, but we're still eating lechem oini. We still have on the table, we eat Moror. There's bitterness. I mean, I just remembered another thing I've got to remember. We dip the Moror in the Charoises. Why? What's one of the main reasons why we dip the Moror in the Charoises? Because it's dangerous to eat Moror. Moror has a bitterness, has a poison that can kill us. So we have to dilute the bitterness of the Moror in Charoises. Now, once we have Charoises, oh, so already we have all these beautiful drushes that Charoises reminds us of the mortar, the tit that was used to make the bricks. But that's not the Iker reason why this Charoises. The Iker time why we dip the Morah in the Charoises is because it's a Sakana. The Morah has poison, Chazal say. And if you don't dip and neutralize the poison, by dipping it into something, you can put your life in danger. What are you talking about? It's a Lel Shimurim. You see all the time people eat lettuce, eat romaine lettuce, eat horseradish. They don't dilute it. Nothing happens to them. A few people, maybe they're allergic. A few people, maybe they're not immune to the poison of the lettuce. But the vast majority of humanity, is not. Nothing's going to happen to them. We're worried about a few people, a 0.1%. That may have a bad reaction to the Moror because of the poison? And the answer is, yeah, we are. Why? Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, it's a Lel Shimurim. Not so fast. It's not a Lel Shimurim. Adaraba, it's a very dangerous time. It's a time when you have to protect yourself a lot more than you would ordinarily need to protect yourself. Just like, let's understand, just like when it comes to the theme of the Lel Seder is, there is Cheirus, V'achrei chen yetzu b'rechush gadol. Yet mitzad sheni, maror zu sha'anu oichlim, bitterness. The matzah is broken, a hard piece of broken bread. There's eggs. There's avelus. They're both elements coming together. This same exact thing is true with regard to Lel Shimurim. It's mikotze ela kotze. There are two elements of Shimur Lel Pesach. There's a Shimur, the Ribbonish Shalom, he got our back. He's guarding us, he's protecting us. There are Nisim v'niflois, v'lo yovoy ha-mashchis. The mashchis is not going to be allowed to enter into the Beis and enter into your bias. They have the mezuzos, the ha-mashkoif, the dam. But don't go out. The Ribbonish Shalom has your back provided you follow the rules. As long as al yetze ish min mekoymoy, le yetzu min habayis, don't leave your house this night. As long as you're following the Ritzoin Hashem, there's going to be for you an unusual degree of shmira that's lemala miderech hateva. Lel shimurim hu la Hashem. You can eat. You can have four cups of wine. You don't have to be worried about zugos. You don't have to say the whole Kriya Shema. As long as we're, you're in your house. But to go out of the house, you don't even have to lock the door. You can keep the door open because you're in your house. But when you go out of the house, it's not a Lel Shimurim. It's a very great sakana. And even in the house, there are elements of sakana. It's hard to define. You have to really play with all of the ideas. But there is no doubt that the extreme elements of Hashem is protecting you versus extreme elements, Hashem is not protecting you. The chance of you developing, having an allergic reaction, having a violent reaction to eating maror is 0.001%. And yet Chazal say, protect yourself from that maror. Dip it in the chayroses, because who knows? There's poison in there. We're not going to rely upon the fact that it's a Lel Shimurim. You can't take chances. Don't openly make an announcement in Lashon HaKodesh. Anyone who wants to come to my Seder is welcome. You're inviting the malachim, the demons. They're going to come get you. They're going to come down on you so hard. You can't imagine. Be careful. There are contradictions in the degree of Shemira on Lel Pesach. Historically speaking, from a historical perspective, it's not been a very pleasant time, Lel Pesach. There's been a terrible, terrible tsaris that have happened Lel Pesach. But mitzat sheni, it's the geula. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Look at the miracles that happened. V'leitin ha-mashos level boteichem lingoif. Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Just like the cherus and the avelus are both present, the shemira is there both in both directions. U'shemartem es ha-matzois. You do the best that you can. We do the best that we can. The Ribbono Shel Olam will do the best that he can. And
kind of like trust but verify.
Okay, that's one way of looking at it. The point is, you have to play with the nuance to appreciate the difference where there's shmira, where there's not shmira. But it's a complex mix of both elements coming together on this night. And this year, like none other, have we been sensitive to appreciate the complexity of this combination of where Hashem is protecting us, yet it is so dangerous, where the most critical Maimer Chazal that's on the top of our minds is, U'shemartem me'oid. Okay, with that, Rabbi, so I think we'll conclude, and we should all have a guarded Alel Shimurim only in the positive sense going forward. And we should have a day, everyone. Be careful, take care of your health. Stay away from other human beings. Especially, yesterday, they say that the grandchildren are the most dangerous. I've read yesterday. Your grandchildren are very dangerous. Stay away from your grandchildren. Children, they say now, they give out the most. For some reason, children are totally immune. Not totally immune. There have been some terrible stories as well with children. But children are very powerful carriers of this. And middle-aged people and older people certainly have to be very careful to stay away from young, from children. Somehow what they're carrying in them is more potent than what other people, middle-aged adults and adults are carrying. The degree of a, so you have to be very careful not to come in contact with the children until this horror comes to an end, hopefully very, very soon. Yes, someone wanted to say something?
The yard side yesterday was the yard side of Nechama Lobowitz. And today is the
yard side.
If you want to go shopping, ShopSmart on Ostrand Avenue is almost empty, has a full supply of everything. And parking is very easy.
Great. Okay.
Rabbi Levine, where is Mr. Weiss been?
Mr. Weiss, he's not been here. Yeah, I don't. The last 2 days, he's not been there. Yes, he was not here either. I have to call him up. I don't know. I'm gonna call him up. Mr. Rappaport, you can call up. Okay, if you want to call him up, anyone want his number? It's hard to get him now. He's okay now. He had a hard time. He was having a hard time with this. And Mr. Cohn, I don't know, you're right. I have to call Mr. Weiss right now, find out what's going on. He hasn't been in the last 2 days, that's right.
What's Rappaport's number?
Give me one moment.
And Weiss.
Okay, I'll give you both numbers. Mr. Rappaport's cell phone number is 646. I know what, I'll put it on the chat. Okay, I'll put it on the chat for everyone. Is anyone here, Abayi Sai, not on the chat? If Mayor Appeldorf was very kind and he made for us a WhatsApp chat. If you do not have WhatsApp, do you have text?
Okay, the number. Can you skip it to us?
Okay, the number, Mr. Rapport, is 646-338. No, I'm mixing up numbers.
I don't know.
Okay, one more time. Mr. Rappaport's cell number is 646-410-3384.
First name is Aaron.
Aaron. Okay, next number. Mr. Cohn. Mr. Cohn's number is...
Arthur, Aaron.
Aaron Cohn. His number is... One moment, please. Here it is, 718-692-3048. One more time, 718-692-3048. Okay, who else?
Mr. Weiss.
Chaim Weiss.
His number is... One second.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Hatzlacha,
bracha. You too. Be well. Be well. Be well. All the best, all of you. Have a safe day. Be well.
Rabbi Levine.
Yes.
Rabbi Levine, that Zoom that you're referring to is Rabbi Twersky's group. And really, in the morning, there's just a service in the morning, a message, and then... He hangs up. It's not like a full, like you were talking about the other day, about having like a regular, like a million, a lot of people.
I know. I was overruled. I was trying very hard with the people there, a target of time to do something, and they want to go in a different direction. And I'm not a decision maker there, and there is a decision maker who was trying to work with me, and he was also overruled by the board. So for now, I'm out of this project.
Rabbi Eisenman and to say it has a chizuk twice a day, in the morning and at night, plus whatever it gives shurim.
Excellent. There's an unlimited number of shurim online. There's no limit. No limit. Every organization, YU has shurim nonstop. OU has live shurim. YU, the OU, Torah Anytime was always posting on their live page new shurim that are going live every day, literally. And every shul has shurim from their rabbanim. And probably next week, or even this week, the Shabbos HaGadol, they're probably, most Rabbanim are going to give their Shabbos HaGadol Drasha on Zoom this year.
And they'll be able to see you if you're listening.
All right. Mayor, how come we can't see you? Mayor, you're foggy. You only can
know.
See part
I
of your...
I can see myself. I'm on. I'm here.
Okay. Okay, Rabbi, so have a wonderful day. Okay. We're going to sign off. Okay, see you all Mir Tashem tomorrow at
Rabbi Fryer.
Yeah, 9:30.
You
yeah.
want to come to the Seder? I have the Malachim here already.
You have the Malachim at the Seder? Which Malachim?
No. You said the Malachim are here already.
Which Malachim?
That's the Shaila.
Which Malachim? I'm very particular. Which Malachim are at the Seder? I'm only willing to associate
malachim
with certain Malachim.
Female. No?
Oh, yes. Is there such a thing as a female malach? Are malachim only males? The people who came...
What's the singular of malachim? Malacha, right?
The malachim came to Avram Avinu, his
they
home.
They come to do malacha. Why are they called malachim?
Malachim?
They do malacha.
Malachim?
Yeah.
They do malacha? Are malachim female or are the malachim male? How does it work? What?
Definitely female.
Is the Ribbono Shel Olam
Malachei Chavodo or more Malachei Yeshua?
The old question is: the Ribbono Shel Olam a male or a female?
Female for sure.
Hey, listen. Let me see if this works. Let me see. Google. Okay, Google. Wait. I'll show you something. Don't go away. Here, let me do it on my other phone. Stay here. Listen to this. Here. Let me try this. No, you say okay, Google. Let's see if I can get this to work
here.
Hello, Google. Okay, Google. No, it's not working. Let me see.
Hello, Google.
No, one second. I'll show something very, very funny. Okay, Google. Okay, Google. No, let me see why it doesn't work. Oh, okay, now I got it. Okay, watch. One second. One second.